How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. Welcome back to Blunt Business here on CannabisRadio.com. Appreciate all of you joining us, whether you're hearing us through the Cannabis Radio app or CannabisRadio.com, through Amazon Music, Apple, Spotify, YouTube Music, and all other platforms out there. Appreciate all of you being a part of this. We have a great guest on the program who has been appeared several times here, most recently back in February, and we're welcoming him back once again. A passionate innovator, product developer with over a decade of experience across alcohol and cannabis, the director and head of cannabis at the Boston Beer Company. I'm not going to go through the entire introduction again because we already know Paul Weaver is back with us here on Blunt Business. Thanks for being back on, Paul.
All right. Looking great, man. Nice to see you. It's getting cold.
Oh, absolutely. And so it's the time to go ahead and, you know, nuzzle down, maybe get a little emerald hour when it comes to the beverages, which we talked about on the last episode where the company expanded into cannabis beverages and edibles through the Emerald Hour brand. But first of all, it was the beverages last year in December going into Canada. And now we have THC gummies for Emerald Hour being brought and rolled out into Ontario and Alberta, cocktail inspired, vegan, infused with live rosin, solventless cannabis diamonds for a premium full spectrum experience. And the first flavor coming out, peach and white grape. So tell me about this leading into another holiday season and the idea of Emerald Hour going into the THC gummies now, outside of the beverages.
Thanks again for the platform, Jorge. I always love jamming with you a bit about what we're up to in Boston Beer in the cannabis space. Boston Beer, just to cycle back, is the founders of Sam Adams Beer and Twisted Tea, Truly Hard Seltzer, Angry Orchard Cider. We are a 40-year-old beverage alcohol company. And for the last 4.5 years, we've been also a cannabis R&D company. So we set up a cannabis R&D subsidiary in Canada to test out how we might extend what we do in craft beer into the cannabis space. And we first started with a product line called Teapot, which is a line of cannabis iced teas, and that's been doing really well. And we thought we would expand into a more, call it experienced cannabis consumer product line. And when we launched Emerald Hour, which is a line of Cali sober, non-alcoholic cannabis cocktails. So,
Paul, about the fact of the transition going originally from Teapot, which was several years ago when we started talking to you, and we also had you on other programs, where Teapot was the focus. And again, that ongoing evolution of research development there in Canada as a testing ground to move forward into Emerald Hour. So as that process has gone, tell me what you've learned from that experience of making the change to the dynamic and demographic you're going for with Emerald Hour versus Teapot, and what you've gotten to now that Emerald Hour continues to be an expanding brand.
Yeah, well, I think what we've, aside from all the learnings of being a cannabis company and focusing on how to make great tasting products and make them at scale and make them consistently, like lots of supply chain learnings. But I think what we've learned commercially and what we've learned from a product perspective is there is a diverse range of consumer preferences. And the easiest way we can kind of divide out our strategies is to say, okay, are we talking to existing cannabis consumers and trying to bring them into the beverage category? And they're already in the dispensary buying flower and vapes and infused pre-rolls, maybe buying a gummy. How do we convince that consumer that maybe a cannabis beverage is an interesting alternative to smoking cannabis? Versus Teapot, which is more in line with a mainstream consumer that maybe have never tried cannabis before. They're certainly familiar with alcohol. They may be familiar with Twisted Tea, but this idea of creating product lines to bring people into the cannabis category generally. So that's kind of how we bifurcate our strategy. We've got Teapot, which is focused on making an easy, stigma-free way to consume cannabis and bring more people in and kind of be evangelical about the plant. And then Emerald Hour is designed to speak to an experienced cannabis consumer. Maybe they should be smoking less. Maybe they should be inhaling less things. And we can give them a great cannabis experience in a beverage form. And now we'll talk about it in a second, expanding into gummies as well. So two different target audiences, two very different brands. And that's kind of how we approached our strategy.
Now, in the first part I want to talk about is that, you know, it was roughly 3 years ago that we started talking to you initially about what you're doing a teapot. And it was 2022. But now, at the time, of course, the reputation and, of course, the, you know, notoriety of Samuel Adams beer, Truly Hard Seltzer, Twisted Tea, and all these products you've already had on the alcohol market, it gives you that gateway to go right into these liquor stores and these national retailers. You fast forward to today, we're seeing a lot more where it was talking about where breweries were moving more into cannabis infused. The retailers have finally caught up. So I'm seeing Target, Circle K, now going nationwide with hemp-derived beverages and other cannabis beverages. If I go into an ABC liquor or if I go into a Total Wine, we're seeing the products out there now more than ever. So, you know, when you look at it now, I mean, I see the competition now and the prime real estate that's being given now for hemp or cannabis-derived beverages. And when you're seeing that there, does that kind of like fall in line with what was the projection as to where people were going to go for their beverages, that you need to go and get ahead of the game? Because we also know that even with younger demographics, their interest in beverages has waned and changed a bit. So it's I feel like that Boston Beer was ahead of the game and trendsetting and realizing, okay, we do need to go ahead and diversify. And we've been right on our projections and predictions.
Yeah, it's certainly validating, right, to see just how proliferated cannabis beverages have become in U.S. liquor stores and convenience stores and now in places like Target. I think that it caught so many people off guard in terms of just how popular and disruptive these would be to the status quo for a beverage alcohol industry or our just mainstream population, that there's a big pushback now in terms of how these products got to market, how these products can be regulated, and how these products can find some level of kind of clear regulatory framework. And I think that what's happened over the last 2 years really is proven that these products serve a consumer need. These products are very popular, and you know, they're also just really fun and really enjoyable. And they can be a great alternative to a traditional alcoholic beverage. So I think, you know, I wish I could say that we knew exactly how this would be playing out. I don't think anyone still yet knows how this industry is going to normalize and stabilize from a regulatory framework. But what we can say is that people want these products. They want these products in a convenient manner and easy to access. They don't want to go through a convoluted, intimidating dispensary experience. They want to be able to get them where they get their alcohol. And for companies like us, our importance, we stress the importance of just owning the recipe, owning the brand, and trying to be as flexible and nimble as possible, because this regulatory environment is rife with uncertainty, a product ban here, a potency change there. It is a perilous category to navigate. But at the end of the day, someone has to make the product. Someone has to have amazing, great tasting cannabis drinks and edibles. And let's make sure that's the piece that we can control. The rest, in terms of how they're distributed and what the roads look like, that's a much more complex topic.
But also what's interesting is that when you have the demographics now that are changing, because with the beverages that are out there, it's quite the test, because you are getting people to go ahead and not go into the idea of, okay, we need to have alcohol, which we need to consume a lot, which we can also find at a pretty affordable price. We are changing the habits of those and adopting new consumers that are willing to go and pay a bit of a higher price point and consume less of a beverage to get the same kind of effect.
Well, maybe that's why some of the other alcohol companies are a little nervous, is the volume versus of alcohol sales versus cannabis beverage sales are very different, right? So a six pack versus, let's say, a couple cans. I think what's interesting that kind of reconciles that, Jorge, is these products still are very expensive and they're priced a lot higher than a traditional beer. And that pricing seems to be holding, knock on wood. So, you know, there is this notion that, yeah, you can consume less liquid for a desired effect. But from an overall business perspective, perhaps it's net in terms of the revenue that you're able to generate off a couple cans of THC beverages versus, right, let's say, a six pack of a beer. So, yeah, I think that there's a lot of upside for a consumer. And a lot of it is just education and getting people to have a firsthand experience with the product. And that's what this hemp beverage experiment really proved out, is that when you put the right product in the right store, targeting the right consumer, these things fly.
It's amazing how many different companies came out that were national brands, and also just, even there weren't even, you know, alcoholic beverages, there were just other beverages out there that wanted to get into the THC market and, you know, might have stayed around, done something, but they really didn't. It was like, there was the experimentation, the research development, but I mean, I really do, I'm amazed. And I'm also at the same time, not surprised that your team was able to go and stay on there, stay the course and realize what there is in this benefit of this industry, because we're going to talk about it after the break, about how big this industry is now, and look at some of the obstacles that are going on along with it, and where, I mean, there's stories now. I see headlines, and here's something that cannabis beverages are the new happy hour. That's like telling you the validation of what's been going on in this cannabis beverage industry. We're going to talk about that more here with Paul Weaver, who is head of cannabis at the Boston Beer Company. And we'll be back with more questions with Paul and have more blunt business after this. Welcome back to Blunt Business. I'm here with Paul Weaver, head of cannabis at Boston Beer Company. And we were talking earlier about the major products they have now, which start off with Teapot. How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With the Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. Tired of social media censorship? Frustrated by restrictions on TV, billboards, and traditional radio? CannabisRadio.com is the only platform where you can connect directly with over 1 million dedicated listeners without the limitations. Advertise your product freely to high-value, educated decision makers. Launch your unrestricted campaign today. Email Brasco, B-R-A-S-C-O, at CannabisRadio.com. 2022, the evolution of Emerald Hour from 2024, launching a beverage line, now having a gummy line in 2025. So the continuation goes on. But back to the beverages, I want to get to that because there's some interesting takeaways to go for that. Cannabis Science, I think I'm quoting from here, the THC beverage market is now at value between currently $9.9 billion and $14.9 billion. Current year sales, $1.0 to $1.3 billion. And more growth potential coming up. THC beverages legal in 28 states, varying restrictions in others. And Winning Economics mentioning now that they were looking at a number of factors when it comes into this. We mentioned the total potential market. There are roughly 500 to 750 brands in the space nationally, 200 being sold in dispensaries. And most brands average $2 million per year, while top brands can easily exceed $10 million or more in annual sales. There's a lot of money in the market. And then from a story from American Craft Beer outside of the cannabis space, you know, there, well, we'll talk about that in a moment, but Beverage Information Group puts out a story saying cannabis beverages are the new happy hour, and that the global industry is undergoing a significant transformation. The alcohol industry, by expanding consumer demand for alternatives to traditional alcohol, and cannabis beverages are at the forefront. So when you're looking at this right here, you know, from what you're doing right now on the cannabis side for Boston Beer, how has this resonated to those up the ladder in Boston Beer, and how Is there going to be a change, or has there been any kind of look at, you know, what the prioritization is of the alcohol versus cannabis industries at Boston Beer? How has that changed in the last few years now that we're seeing this much money coming in?
Well, it certainly has it added more interested parties to the conversation. You know, I think we've been at this for a few years now because we believed that cannabis is a force for good. Cannabis is part of American culture now, and it's impacting beer sales. And we can either fight that or we can embrace that. And I think that's the strategic impetus that got us into the space without quite yet knowing how we would, you know, commercialize that or capitalize on that from a revenue perspective. Now we're starting to see ways in terms of how to take this insight that cannabis beverages are an incremental part of our business and seeing experiments of how people can put those products in liquor stores and actually disrupt and make a significant source of sales. So I think it's just evolved a little bit from curiosity to a deep understanding of the business to a lot of upside. But I do think that that upside for a company like us comes with risk because we are a large company. We have 40 years of history behind us. We have shareholders to be accountable to. And we also have just a lot more skin in the game with respect to our existing business. So it's very encouraging. It's very exciting and very validating to see the success of the category early on. But we have a ways to go in terms of creating a stable, well-regulated category to commercialize in.
So here's something fascinating here. The Cannabis Policy Institute at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, UNLV, put out a report at the popularity of cannabis-infused beverages. It's called A Review of the Present THC Beverage Market. And they show how much the beverages are continuing to grow in popularity. And the author, Tyler Klimas, actually wrote about the fact that, you know, after consumers initially flocked to stores to purchase these beverages, will they keep coming back? And the answer is yes. Shoppers are now seeing cannabis beverages in a familiar spot next to the traditional adult beverages they buy, and they can easily go ahead and pick up a 4-pack or 6-pack. And also, a major driver is the broad consumer base it attracts. 19% of cannabis consumers ages 18 to 34 report cannabis beverages as a preferred product type. As far as I know, that's a pretty dominating the demographic now more than there has ever been, and there's always been for the matter. So you're also saying that it's not only just a growing interest of cannabis for younger consumers, but also especially women. So, I mean, that's also amazing to go see there. Headset data suggesting consumers make up around 2/3 of total cannabis sales in the U.S. and cannabis. Women make up 80% of the purchasing decisions in the U.S., but that's like the common retail thing anyway. So younger demographic. And we're also looking at, in the same research, you're also saying that 40% of consumers enjoy beverages and social occasions. So there's a lead to go ahead and really go with 5 or 10 milligram formats, encouraging a controlled experience, even allowing for multi-drink occasions. So that's a lot of great information you're going to take away from that. A younger, growing, and will be a, probably a dedicated base of consumers that are going to be going into that market, again, finding the availability of these beverages that they want in the market. That's a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, I think it's that that female demographic you mentioned, Jorge, that's really interesting because, you know, as a beer company, traditionally, historically, you know, we have a slight over-index towards dudes. And
right.
So the capitalizing on a demographic that's more incremental to us is also just very, very intriguing. And I think that it's a different way of marketing than traditional beer. It's a different value proposition. It's a little bit of a different way of approaching your grassroots brand building and brand awareness. So, yeah, I think that these products have mass appeal, whether you're an older consumer that is, you know, just doesn't drink like they used to and is looking for a new experience, or you're a younger consumer who is well informed about alcohol and would prefer to just try something else. And then throughout that current is this undercurrent of over-indexing with female consumers. So it's a lot of upside for beverage alcohol, whether that's consumers that were just either leaving or not interested in our product to begin with, or a demographic that we typically tend to move away from, because, you know, we're just beer guys that focus on beer so much. So yeah, it's the, I mean, the upside in terms of the demographic is a whole other piece of the equation.
Well, and also with the flavor palette that you have out there for Emerald Hour and the beverage lineup, agave, lime, and sea salt, cranberry and citrus, ginger, lime and mint. That's just, you know, good tangy, sour, real cool flavors. And kind of just that infusion, I can see where that does really good. And also, you know, the size of the cans you also sell, they're 222 milliliter mini cans. I don't know what size that is if you do it for standard versus metric. And each cocktail.
Well, these little Coke mini cans here.
Oh, there we go. Okay, thank you. Yeah, 10 milligrams of THC and premium non-alcoholic. I can see the appeal for women to go ahead and go more to those beverages and also flock to those beverages more than anything else.
Yeah, well, I think first, you know, the Emerald Hour brand is a cannabis cocktail brand. You know, we're a little bit restricted in Canada to say the explicit cocktail names, you know, so this is our ginger lime, which, if you can guess, that's the Moscow Mule.com. You know, it's about making non-alcoholic alternatives. Agave, lime, and sea salt. That's our margarita. We've got cranberry and citrus. That's our cosmopolitan. We've got lime and mint. That's our mojito. So, you know, we're trying to create familiar analogs. So if you would like to not partake in alcohol, but you really do love cocktail culture, that's what Emerald Hour is designed for. And yeah, and some people have different preferences and it's very disparate, but you know, it's about making these products taste great, but also easy to understand. Teapot, Emerald Hour, just your classic cocktail flavors, but now non-alcoholic and infused with live rosin.
So when we come back, we're going to talk more about some of the issues that are still going on and obstacles right now when it comes to hemp-derived beverages and just where we are right now in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, couple obstacles.
Oh, yeah, just a few. We're going to talk about those coming up.
Yeah.
So we lead into the new year here once again with Paul Weaver, head of cannabis at Boston Beer Company on Blunt Business. Back with final questions after this. Rounding the home stretch here with Paul Weaver, head of cannabis at Boston Beer Company, makers of Emerald Hour and Teapot. And he's going, we'll talk about quickly about where you can go and find those products right now, which we obviously see are getting a lot of appeal right now for a younger audience, even for a more female demographic. It's amazing. But obviously it was, you know, you could see where the direction of what people are drinking on a regular basis. I mean, if I go into my random liquor store, I can see the prime real estate out there for more products out there that are THC derived. That's just, you can see it happening, that there is that dynamic shift that's going on. And eventually we're going to see where like the shelves are going to be maybe into a 50-50 kind of split. I mean, sure, there's a whole, I mean, how many more, you know, bottles of bourbon can you put out there, and how many more, you know, brands of beer and micro brews and all that stuff is going on. But let me tell you, you're starting to see that stores are much more cognizant to go ahead and put more THC beverages on the shelves more and more every time. But one thing is, could be a possible detraction. So as the beer, beverage, and hemp markets evolve, cannabis, I'm seeing, the Beer Institute is making the case that intoxicating hemp drinks cannot simply ride under the radar. Yeah, the beer industry also now coming into lobby in here. A significant policy push urging lawmakers to impose stricter rules on hemp-derived beverages to generate a high, quote-unquote, citing concerns about consumer safety, taxation, and fair competition. The Beer Institute is backing efforts to either ban or tightly regulate intoxicating hemp, which is what's been looking at right now in the 2026 Farm Bill. And in various states, we already know, when it comes to North Carolina, Tennessee, Missouri, Texas, they've all had to kind of deal with these kind of issues. And I want to imagine, Paul, that's a bit of an issue because of the company Boston Beer being in alcohol and in cannabis here with the beverage side. You know, there's obviously, it's unfortunately a seesaw that's unfortunate here, but what do you see playing out of all this? And, you know, how does that affect Boston Beer overall going into the new year, if there is any change to the intoxicating hemp quotient as that's being taken out? I would imagine cannabis still is going to be something I think will be then more towards the forefront, but the hemp derived will not be.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, we're also in the middle. You and I just happened to be talking in a weird gap here. But let's assume the worst for a moment, where for hemp, which is that hemp-derived THC products are banned under an appropriations bill or an amended farm bill language. And so let's say that those are put on a 1 year warning notice that they'll be banned and pulled from the shelf 1 year from today. So let's assume that happens. I mean, there's a lot of money that was made during this a period of ambiguity, and a lot of our customers, meaning people that we sell alcohol to, are wholesalers who are participating in this category, and that money is kind of evaporate. And I do think that that's what we have to reconcile over the next year, is to say, okay, well, how do we move forward? How do we offset this new incremental revenue that was so lucrative for us, but perhaps a little bit unregulated and unwieldy? How do we promote and champion regulatory reform? I think the key for us is that we believe in regulation, not prohibition. Regulation that's close to the alcohol models, I think, have shown to work. And I think that's what we learned through this hemp experiment, was that alcohol companies, it's not perfect, but at least can shoulder the burden of distributing THC products in a national capacity. So I think it's how we reconcile all the insight and learnings over the last couple of years, not just how much money was made and how much money we're going to lose and not perpetuating the category, but also like the role of beverage alcohol in facilitating the THC business nationally, because it can't remain a state-to-state industry. That's not sustainable.
Right.
And it can't be unregulated, because that opens up the door for bad actors. So it's going to be a year of soul searching, frankly, for both THC producers and a beleaguered beverage alcohol industry to figure out how we make this work.
But now, and on my last question to you, but do you see where, if they're going to make it where hemp can only be used for industrial purposes, that would be ultimately what will happen to hemp. And, you know, a lot of companies I've talked to that were, you know, putting out products, either hemp-derived products of whatever kind, that are made into THC products, that they had to just figure out what to do with the hemp and all the grows they've had out there. But if it's made it so that hemp goes by the wayside for THC derivation, but cannabis itself is the only way to go and derive for THC, I mean, is that a better trade-off? Is that the trade-off that we're looking to go and see that might happen?
You know, I think, Jorge, that's almost an opinion that we don't have a strong feeling about. You know, I think we're not in the cultivation game. We're not selling flower. We're not selling pre-rolls and inhalable products. We're selling ingestible products that take the THC extract from the plant. And in many ways, assuming it's legal and regulated, it's semantics to us, that the species of the cannabis plant that you're extracting it from, whether that's hemp or call it marijuana. So I don't know if we have an opinion, frankly, about like, well, if there's an end game scenario that would allow for a regulated THC market, does that come from a hemp plant or a marijuana plant? I think we just want a sustainable and regulated industry, and one that is one that can, you know, flourish and not feel such anxiety every year in terms of, will this be banned? Will this not? How will we approach taxes? How will we approach federal policy? Like, I think what we've learned over the last decade really is consumers want access, regulated access to THC products. There's an overwhelming majority of consumers, Americans, that want that. And now it's a question of how, you know, a responsible industry like alcohol that has proven that we can distribute and regulated alcohol products, adult intoxicating products, how do we lend our strengths to make that a reality as opposed to capitalize on some short-term loophole? So it's, I think the how it's done in terms of how the THC is facilitated, where the, you know, they say the spice must flow. I'm not sure how the spice is going to flow here, but we know that consumers really, really want those end products. And the alcohol industry showed that when permitted to do so and regulated, well, we can do it really well.
And I just try to think about where we'll go with that, because I think if we have something where, as long as we get to some kind of, how much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. Tired of social media censorship? Frustrated by restrictions on TV, billboards, and traditional radio? CannabisRadio.com is the only platform where you can connect directly with over 1 million dedicated listeners without the limitations. Advertise your product freely to high-value, educated decision makers. Launch your unrestricted campaign today. Email Brasco, B-R-A-S-C-O, at CannabisRadio.com. Regulation for cannabis. And the thing is, I think that approach that where cannabis becomes finally regulated at some point at a national level, whereas the hemp bill has not been able to do any kind of framework or any kind of, well, we can have a traditional standard of how it can be regulated. It's just not being regulated. It's not being enforced. And that's where we've had the issue where, you know, while companies like Boston Beer have been doing, you know, very responsible work and all the beverages you've been putting out there, gummies and other products, when you see other products that are out there that are THC derived, hemp derived, they say, but they're not, you know, that they're nefarious actors out there. Unfortunately, that's an illicit market that gets controlled in that spot that has also made it bad for companies like yours that have done the right thing and have been doing it properly. Because on top of that, you more than understand the ramifications and the regulations and the compliance that you should have, because you do the same thing with alcohol as well. Like the whole company is above board, but there's an illicit market that takes away and does makes it harder for people to go and enjoy good stuff. The illicit market in both markets doesn't get controlled. Nobody's ever addressing that part. And that's why I think these kind of things keep coming up, because policymakers don't know any better.
Well, it's a lot easier to say no to things and to say yes to things. I mean, that's part of, unfortunately, part of politics. Yeah. But, you know, we just want access. You just want regulated access, you know, and I think that the way the Farm Bill created the pathway for these products was a loophole. And I think being honest about that,
yeah,
that is not how it was intended. And as a result, it was exploited to every extreme, you know. And I think they put, in lack of regulation, the absence of regulation, the onus then becomes on companies to self-regulate. And that is a very dangerous route to take, because now you are trying to be your own regulatory body. We work really well when we're told exactly what we can and can't do with very clear regulations. And then we commercialize within that bubble. And I think when you have no guardrails, trusting that 100% of people are going to act ethically is naive. And I think, unfortunately, that's what the downside of what this hemp loophole exposed is. There is people who will just make whatever they want, and without really any recourse, because they're not a 40-year-old beverage alcohol company with shareholders there.
Exactly.
Or Bob in his basement, right? So, I think it just underscores both the just latent demand for these products and the absolute need for regulation. And that's where we're at.
Paul Weaver, always great conversation. Always glad to go and have you on back. It's great to go and have the constant, you know, approach to going with this and continue to follow along with the process and the evolution of Boston Beer from Teapot into Emerald Hour into beverages, now into gummies. So let's get back to the gummies once again and talk about the fact that you already had them now on the play. And the first flavor, once again, is available now in Ontario and Alberta. And that first flavor of this vegan-infused live rosin, solventless cannabis diamonds, full-spectrum peach and white grape. So tell me about that. And, you know, it's also take a minute to go and talk about the other products. As the holiday season approaches, obviously, you know what? People should go ahead and keep an eye on Emerald Hour and Teapot and all this. Bring it to the house for Thanksgiving or Christmas, or, well, not Canadian Thanksgiving, but American Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Meanwhile, whilst the American kind of cannabis journey takes it on the chin, up here in Canada, an unequivocally legal and regulated market, we're continuing to do some amazing product development work. And I think what's really cool about what we're doing up here in Canada, Boston Beer Company is a beverage company. We're a beverage alcohol company that expanded into cannabis. But we launched our first gummy product. And I think that is one small step towards realizing a bigger role in a broader cannabis opportunity, because gummies in a dispensary channel is about 3 times the size of the beverage category. This is an extension off our Emerald Hour brand. So again, non-alcoholic Cali Sober cannabis cocktails. And our dessert gummies are just that. So this is a peach Bellini gummy. We call it peach and white crepe, but it's a peach Bellini gummy. It's the smallest legal packaging that we could get away with. It's 100% recyclable. It's childproof.
Nice.
And it's really easy to open. There's just a tack strip on it. So you just do the pop tube, and then in it are these adorable peach Bellini
diamonds,
emerald gummies.
Oh, wow.
And each one contains 5 milligrams of THC that's sourced from live rosin and solventless cannabis diamonds. Everything is vegan. So not only is it got that ethical claim, but it also is easy to chew, easy to bite. So if you want to have half, a third, it's very easy to bite through. And they're just a perfect little gummy. And they hit that full spectrum live rosin that feels great. And they're available now in dispensaries across Ontario, Alberta, and knock on wood, British Columbia soon. So you've got just a demonstration of what we can do beyond just drinks, but still hold a very strong brand purpose. These are cocktail gummies, no alcohol, for a Calgary sober crew.
Canada gets some pretty good stuff up there. So, and overall for Emerald Hour and Teapot, where exactly, you know, would be the best way to go ahead and find out where they can find out where, which stores have those products available so they can get them their hands on it?
Yeah, great question. So two websites for two brands. Our Teapot websites is drinkteapot.com, drinkteapot.com. And then our Emerald Hour brand website is emeraldhourcannabis.com. So drinkteapot.com, and then there's a product finder there, or Emerald Hour Cannabis, and there's a product finder there. And I'll help you track down your local dispensary just in time for holiday season.
Fantastic. So I hope listeners will go ahead and find their way over that during the holiday season when it gets a little bit chilly, as it's getting chilly outside more in the day. Even down here in South Florida, we're starting to feel some of it. Paul Weaver, head of cannabis at Boston Beer Company. As always, thanks for being on Blunt Business. Thanks for taking time out, as always.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Jorge. Nice seeing you, buddy.
All right. And all listeners, thanks again for listening to another Blunt Business. We'll talk to you next time. How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With the Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.